I just love getting unfiltered and unfettered. And now, here's Tony and Fran.
Shut the front door, it is UFUF 144. That's from the very unsafe space of the Monolith Studio 1B. This is your gleefully arrogant co-host, Tony the Bully Opinions, along with my co-host, a man that, to my knowledge, has never been a mall Santa. The Pope of the podcast, Sir Francis One. Fran, good evening. How are you?
I'm good. My security clearance interviewee could never uncover my mall Santa-ness, so...
Have you ever been a mall Santa?
I've never been a mall Santa, no.
That's
what I'm telling the government, anyway.
Because mall Santa is going to come up once or twice on our podcast tonight.
Surprisingly, coincidentally, it will come up.
And I was chatting with some of my colleagues at work, like, who exactly are mall Santas? Because I've never met a person who I said, what's your hobbies? And they said, you know what? I just love being a mall Santa.
You, my friend, are wrong. You have.
Am I?
You have. Chief Hafner is a professional Santa Claus. They have a union car. They go to a school, and he hires.
Well, you could post that picture on our podcast. I still have it. But is he actually a mall Santa?
Well, I don't know if the mall gig is a permanent thing, but he is a professional Santa.
But it's like the difference between being a hooker and a call girl, right?
You know what, Chief? Those views expressed are so...
I mean, it's a step up from a mall Santa.
I'm not sure that analogy is appropriate.
I mean, I took my picture with him at the retirement one time, and people were like, hey, it's Santa and Jesus.
Yes. That's awesome. All right, well, yes, we'll find that picture.
Fran, you watched a lot of TV in the 80s, right?
I did, and I'm still in therapy.
And there were a lot of bad sitcoms. But what I remembered from those sitcoms was that they would always say, like, and I remember this from David Letterman, because he'd always talk about Punky Brewster, which I don't know that I've ever watched an episode. But they would always say, like, on Friday, it's a very special episode of Punky Brewster. Or it's a very special episode of High School whatever. This is a very special podcast right here.
This one is?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're supposed to support me.
Oh, yes, it is. This is special.
We got a lot of great stuff to talk about. We're gonna do some things we haven't done for a while to support my assertion that it's a very special... Trump is full steam. He's full steam ahead.
He is, yeah.
We're going to do a... it's a conspiracy. An actual conspiracy.
Yes. Yeah. One that may actually have merit, yes.
Global Gallup? Oh, no, we haven't done Oh, No, You Didn't for a while. I love tonight's Oh, No, You Didn't. Because I got two things that are just, to coin the phrase, chapping my ass.
Yes.
Okay?
I can confirm that ass is chapped. he has been on the edge about these two issues.
We're going to shotgun the news, hardcore politics. Obviously, we're going to talk about the Trumpster. Let's get to shotgunning the news.
Okay, boys, let's get started. Give me both barrels and shotgun that news.
Fran, first out of the gate tonight, my governor and your governor, not yours personally, I'm saying that in the general.
America's governor,
Kasich vetoes the heartbeat bill in Ohio.
Yeah, so...
I'm very disappointed.
So 0 for 2, the abortion issue is 0 for 2 for all you people who said, oh, well, I'm just voting for Trump because he's anti-abortion, and I've explained to you over and over again that you're full of crap. He's not. Trump went on 60 Minutes and said, hey, that issue's been settled by the Supreme Court. I'm not touching it. Now in Ohio, the heartbeat bill was put forward. It passed both chambers of the state house in Ohio, and what it said basically was the minute a heartbeat is detected, abortion would then be illegal. That child is a actual life, and it'll be protected by the state. You know, Kasich, Republican governor, you know, I believe he was one of the few who said he would not support Trump, right? Is that correct?
Right.
And he vetoes the heartbeat bill. So how serious are conservatives about abortion? There was a chance to go stronger than Texas, right? Texas went pretty strong against Planned Parenthood, you know, bringing down regulations to make sure these abortion mills and these murder factories are following some medical code, which put a lot of them out of business. Surprise, surprise. After the Gosnell issue in Philly that agenda all that up, right, when he was butchering babies, Ohio had a chance to go strongest about anybody and set a big precedent, and Kasich choked on it and decided it wasn't worth his political career, so his job is more important than saving the life of children. I think that's a good mark in the sand. If you have a heartbeat, clearly it's alive. Yeah? I mean, that makes sense. This, you know, I don't think you have to be a doctor to figure that out.
It's not rocket science.
But he vetoed it, so the heartbeat bill crashes and burns in Ohio, and the people who justify to themselves why they voted for Trump lose again.
All right, next. All right, Fran, this is my deal, and this is one of the things that just pisses me off. So, you know, I got a routine. I get up in the morning, I watch CNN. Now, I'm a conservative, but I watch CNN because they concentrate on news, even though they're a bunch of bedwetting liberals. So Chris Cuomo is interviewing Jeff Merkley. There's two points I want to make about this. Chris Cuomo is interviewing Jeff Merkley, Democrat from Oregon, so you know he's a liberal. And he's asking him about the Republicans wanting to get rid of Obamacare. He's talking about how bad that will be, blah, 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 blah.
Right, beating the dead horse, right?
Yeah. And then he asked him about Ben Carson being selected as the Secretary for Housing and Urban Development. I don't know if Ben Carson will be a good leader. Being a brain surgeon doesn't mean you're going to be a great leader of a governmental department. However, Merkley starts on by saying, I can't believe how incredibly unqualified this guy is. This guy's completely unqualified to leave a governmental department. Our inner cities are at the worst state they've ever been. And he says, and this is a quote, we practically have tent cities in Washington, D.C. So now I'm half paying attention until he says that. And then I go, let me Google Jeff Merkley. So then I find out Jeff Merkley's been a representative since 2009. The administration's been in charge since 2008. If the inner cities are at the worst that they've ever been, isn't that kind of on them, Fran?
Yeah, it's not a hard dot to connect. I mean, it's pretty obvious.
But it's the hyperbole of politics, right? So you're going to out Ben Carson. And look, like I already said, I don't know if Ben Carson's going to be a good director of housing. I have my suspicions about that appointment. But, dude, when you just say the inner city is at the worst point they're at ever, that's on you and your administration.
It's certainly not on Ben Carson.
Right.
I mean, he has nothing to do with that. Whether or not he's going to be a good HUD secretary, and I don't think he will be, has nothing to do with the situation of the inner cities. It has everything to do with Congress and the president.
Yes.
Who are charged with the welfare of the people. Not Ben Carson. So, I mean, and that's the kind of stuff where, you know, you hear people yell liberal bias in the media. That's a tangible example.
It is.
Cuomo let that go without saying,
because,
dude, you've been on the watch for 8 years. Why haven't you fixed it?
Because you exactly hit the nail on the head. Because, and I watch CNN almost every morning. I hate Chris Cuomo and Allison Camerota, but it's the best representation of news that you can get.
Right.
You know?
Comparatively to the other stations.
Compared to the other ones. But you're absolutely right. If that was a conservative, Cuomo would have said, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Did you just say? But no, he let that go. Mm-hmm. So it's immediate. So, and this is going to be, I think, a reoccurring theme maybe in this podcast, is just the hyperbole of partisan politics.
Not to mention, I think, Cuomo's lack of intellect let another point slide by. What does one have to do with the other? What does the HUD secretary pick now have to do with the current state of inner cities? Well, is he trying to say they're in such bad shape, this is not the guy to fix them? Is that what he's trying to say? because then we're right back to, you've been in charge for 8 years. You know what I mean? And again, Cuomo doesn't press him on that because where that's going to go.
Well, I'll tell you, Fran, I think Cuomo's a smart guy, but that's where his bias shows through, right? He's not going to challenge that point.
But that's a pretty big non sequitur. I mean, what does Carson have to do with the state of inner cities? He's a neurosurgeon. That makes him unqualified to be the HUD director. That doesn't make him the reason that the inner cities are crumbling and there are 10 cities in D.C. I mean, that's just horrible.
All right, folks. Listen and be educated. All right, next. Okay, so if you want to know why our education system is so terrible in the United States, there's this case of this professor from Orange County College who's teaching a human sexuality class, which is very important, Francis, if you're talking about building buildings and technology and all that stuff to understand human sexuality. But she went on a diatribe against Trump, and she said, here's the quotes. She said, Trump's election was an act of terrorism, and the leaders of the assault are among us. She went on to say that to ask for students who voted for Trump to stand up so we can identify you and keep an eye on you.
Wouldn't it be easier to just stamp their wrist with a number so we could, you know, track them?
And yes, it would.
We want to put them on trains and, you know, and send them somewhere. Wouldn't that be easier?
Now,
Jesus Christ.
I've been reading on this a day or two, and now I'm reading these sympathetic articles like, oh, she had to leave the county because she was receiving death threats. Well, I don't think anybody should receive death threats, but if you're saying stupid shit like that, like...
No, that's not stupid shit. That's...
Yes, yeah.
She's talking about rounding up America. Let's just boil this down to what it is. She's talking about rounding up citizens of this country based on their political choice.
Yes.
So that they can be watched.
We need to watch you.
That's insane. And you poke... What do we say all the time? What happens to you is largely the result of the decisions you make. You poke a bee's nest and you're going to get stung. She's getting what she asked for. I got no sympathy.
She actually called Trump. She said Trump is a white supremacist, which is
that's not news. I mean, other people have floated that idea. This idea of making people identify so we can watch you. Who the hell? I mean,
she said she is trying to identify, humiliate, and shame those that disagree with her.
And ironically, she did was humiliate and shame herself.
Yes, but look. Before you post any more articles about how Finland is number one in education and we're number 23, look at instructors like this.
Yeah.
This is part of the problem.
Yeah.
Right? And you know the shame of this, Fran, is I completed most of my degrees as, between you and I, as famously known later in my adult life. I finished my bachelor's and my master's while I was well on active duty, although I never spent a minute when I was on actual company time. Anyways, you know, I was an adult, and I was much of it I paid with my own money, so I wasn't bashful about calling out professors on their bullshit. Right, but these are 19 or 20 year old kids. They don't know any better. You know, they're still in that. You know, these are the authority positions.
Right.
I mean, I could tell two or three stories right now where I went up and talked to professors after class and said, "Hey, you know," I diplomatically said, "You're full of shit," and I'm not putting up with it. But these are kids, and they're being influenced by this kind of crap.
That's true. I mean, I was going where you were. Getting your graduate degree, I was finishing my bachelor's, and at the same time, although I probably scammed the company for quite a bit of time, and it was the same way. I would not call them out, but you could see the difference in the way I interacted with the way these kids interacted.
Sure,
it was a much different. It was more of an equal, and a professor interacted differently with me.
Absolutely,
because I was almost the same age, and we had the same similarities, and you know, and yeah, so they absolutely are impressioned by these professors. Look, so she tried to shame these kids by making them stand up, say, we're going to watch you. But what effect did she have on the kids who didn't vote for Trump and didn't stand up? Are they going to start doing that shit? Are they going to think it's okay? Hey, we can...
Yeah.
We can round these people up. Well, those are some pretty nasty seeds to be planting in people's minds. And at the very least, she should be fired for that.
I believe so. All right, next.
Out of county. Poor dear. Good thing yes. She doesn't have to go on a train ride with a track that ends inside a camp.
No kidding. Because
that's what she's suggesting. Make right. no mistake. Yeah, right. That's the basis of what she's suggesting.
Right. Right. All right. Next. Hot off the presses, Fran.
Kanye.
Kanye, who is in our A-hole Hall of Fame, he spends a 15... So the news feed is that Kanye West requests a 15-minute audience with Donald Trump. He goes in this morning with his posse, and that I'm quoting the news article. I'm not being a racist. Goes up, spends 15 minutes with Trump, 15, 20 minutes with Trump, comes down. They come out. They have some pictures taken. Trump says, I've known Kanye for a long, long time. He's a good guy. They ask Kanye questions. Kanye just says, I want to get my picture taken. I mean, I have a take on this, Fran, but what's your take on it?
Kanye is a troubled young man.
He is.
Just out of mental...
Yeah, he just got out of the hospital.
Rehabilitation.
Just got out of a breakdown.
Yeah, he said breakdown, right? So he voluntarily locked himself up for a little bit. Look, if we hear that Kanye West is in the running for a cabinet position, I'm gonna have a problem with it. But if they are friends, I mean that's not new. I mean Kanye's been supporting Trump from the beginning. I mean, you know,
well, here's my take.
And look, in a month, Kanye's access is going to go down almost nothing.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I got no issue with it.
Well, here's my take. If you watch The Apprentice, Trump had an incredibly diverse cast of people on there. You know, Little John and Dennis Rodman and a whole host of women and... What was the aggressive black woman that you always had on there?
Omarosa.
Yeah. You know, this, like, what I think is, like, I'm guessing people that go to Kanye West concerts probably didn't vote for Donald Trump.
I bet not.
Yet Kanye West, for some reason, wants to go meet with Donald Trump. I mean, he had to go to meet Trump, right? He requested a meeting.
Well, he had to go through Secret Service vetting and all that. Doesn't matter that his name's Kanye West.
So, like, even though I can't stand Kanye West, I think this is nothing but a good thing, that we may have a president that is able to communicate with a diverse audience.
Yeah, I mean, look, the white supremacist stuff is a bunch of nonsense.
Yes, well,
Is he a womanizer? Right. Probably. I mean, the 1% generally are.
We know people that are.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know.
That'd make them bad people.
No, necessarily. But the white supremacist stuff is a bunch of nonsense. Look at the makeup of his campaign team. I mean, the three major players was a woman, a black man, and a homosexual.
Right.
I mean, because, and look at his pattern of trying to pick cabinet people. Now, their color is maybe one thing, but it's guys that basically ran it up his ass the entire campaign.
Oh, yeah.
Ran the Never Trump campaign.
Well,
meaning that he doesn't really look at the person, the superficialities of a person. He looks at whether, can that guy do the job? I don't care.
It's a bottom line.
Yeah, I don't care if he told me to go get stuff during the campaign or if he hates my guts. That guy can do the job I need done, so I'm going to pick him. Or I'm going to consider him. He's, you know, not necessarily a team of rivals like Lincoln. I'm not suggesting that. But I think we talked about this a couple podcasts back. I think it shows that mentally he is up for the job because he doesn't seem to hold grudges.
Right.
That guy's got skills I want. I don't care what he thinks about me. I need him to do this job. So I want him. Or I want her. Or I want that Democrat. Or, you know, so I think that nonsense about being a white supremacist, that's all crap.
mean, well, we're gonna see as we go through the podcast and talk about this some more, because I just think the idea that Kanye West visited Trump is somehow, because I'm a longtime Kanye West hater, but I think this is somehow significant that Kanye West asked to speak to him.
Yeah.
And Trump, what other president, president-elect,
right,
was in this kind of a position? And, Trump said, oh, we just talked about life.
Well, because they're buds. I mean, that's
news. Weird. It's weird to me, but I think it might be good.
I agree. I think it shows, I wouldn't necessarily say it humanizes Trump, but I think it...
Well, no, I think exactly it does. Yeah.
But I don't think that's the point. I don't think he needs to be humanized. I think it's pretty clear that this dude has a diverse group of people around him, and he has a diverse group of relationships. Well, I honestly think that stuff doesn't mean anything to him. Black, white, homosexual, I don't think that crap means anything to him.
No, I agree with you. But I think to the press, they have no way to explain why Kanye West wanted to go see
Donald
Trump.
Which is why you don't hear about it, right?
Right. Like, those people that have been vilifying him now for months have no way to explain why Kanye West asked to go see Donald Trump, and Donald Trump comes out and says, "Hey, we just talked about life for a while," like which sounds like almost a mentoring thing to me. But anyways, I just think it's damn funny, and we'll go next. From the good to the bad, Francis.
We may be packing our bags here. Christmas may be canceled for us. We may be heading to North Korea for an intervention.
Not me.
Our boy's in trouble, Tony. Our boy is in trouble.
I can't help him. You go.
Don't underestimate yourself.
Tell the story.
Oh. Drunk. I mean, this is like...
He's just getting drunk and shooting people. Or having people shot.
I mean, look. If you're the dictator of a country, what's the point of being a dictator of a country if you can't tie one on and shoot some people? Really, outside of that, what's the advantage of being a dictator?
It's not funny.
It's not, but it is.
It is.
So, a Japanese chef who's now back in his country, his own country, was in North Korea, and he has come out with this story that Kim Jong-un likes to tie it on and bragged about drinking four or five bottles of something, wine or something. And apparently when he gets drunk, he likes to pick off members of his government. So,
one of which happened to be his uncle.
Yes.
Like, just shoot Uncle Bob.
So the latest iteration of this, he, I guess he has a resort little bungalow somewhere. He brings all these members of the government there, forces them to write apologies for not getting a satellite in space already. He's drunk off his ass. When he wakes up in the morning, he's like, "Why are you all here?" They break down in tears because they realize they're going to live because he doesn't remember any of it from last night. That's how bad it is. The stress was so high when they realized he sobered up and didn't remember why they were there, they all broke down crying. So now... We should preface this because, look, he's a longtime friend of the podcast. This is the chef's recount of this. We don't know how true this is, but we think it's funny, and there's probably a lot of truth to it.
And we think it's probably true.
Yeah. But we can't verify. Let's just say that.
They said he was very drunk when he ordered the execution of two aides close to his purged uncle, according to Japanese newspaper reports.
And that's what the group this past week said. We thought we were going to be purged, and we realized we were, like, they have a name for it. Like,
yeah,
he does it so much they have an actual name. Like, he purges, and he, Stalin-esque a little bit, purging members of the government. Not so much on the vodka, maybe Kim Jong, just back away from the bar a little, because at some point, right, are you not going to run out of government members? I mean, by now, he's surely have gone through his family.
I'm almost getting scared to call him friend of the podcast.
Yeah, well,
we've done that a long time, but it may not bode well for us.
Yeah.
So
that bastard may show up on our doorstep.
Kim Jong, you bastard!
Get help! Get help!
It's all right. Just next.
Your family loves you. Bad trouble. Isn't that what they say in an intervention?
Yeah. All right, next. Fran, the first of our Santa stories tonight.
Okay. Is there another group of people that have been showing their ass for the last year and a half more than Christians? Is there? I mean, they're just...
I don't know.
They're just a bunch of buffoons. Christ would not return to this current church. I'm just going to say it. All right, I have nothing to back that up. I'm just saying. I mean,
they don't strap bombs to their body, and
you people are embarrassing yourselves.
But you know,
Okay, let me get to the story before I go on a rant. Okay. It makes no sense. So Amarillo, Texas, the mall in Amarillo. People in line to see Santa Claus. All these families, their little kids. Myself, I take my two kids on Christmas Eve. It's a lot of fun. This pastor decides he's going to be a truth teller. Going to bring the word to the people.
Amen, brother.
Filming himself. So clearly he's a narcissist, you know, self-propagandist. He's walking around in a circle around this, you know, if you've ever been in line for Santa, which I'm sure you will do with your grandson. It's, you know, it's kind of a serpentine thing. Spirals out.
Yeah,
and, you know,
I've done
so he's walking. He's walking around that yelling, Santa is not real. It's a lie. He's just a man in a suit. Kids, your parents are lying to you. Parents, stop lying to your kids. Jesus is the only answer. I'm like, and I'm sure Jesus will be so freaking proud of you right now, you stupid ass. So, what I don't understand is, in Amarillo, how he didn't hear the clicks of 35 hammers being cocked into position.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an open carry state. You know,
right?
This guy's just a rabble rouser. He's a troublemaker. This is the dude who's going to burn a Koran on live television, and he didn't do it.
Well, he's not wrong, but he's inappropriate.
No, I disagree. He is wrong. That's wrong for that situation. Inappropriate.
Oh yeah, well, what I'm saying.
Is Santa real? Okay,
right. No,
but that's wrong. I mean, that's
so
just
Santa is real, kids. He is real.
Yeah,
I'm not going to be held responsible.
I mean, in what way is that?
Yeah.
Is that promoting the kingdom?
I can't believe that he got away with it. I'm like you.
Yeah. So they had
because if I was in line, I'd shut the dude up.
So a guy stepped out and started talking to him, and all he kept saying was, "Get your hands off me, sir! Get your," because like a good Christian, he was setting up for the lawsuit.
Right.
Right. So because he kept saying into the camera, "Get your hands off me, sir! Don't touch me! I'm not bothering. I'm not physically bothering." And the guy said, just get the hell out of here and shut your damn mouth. Well, then the I don't know what you call him, the commandant of the mall came out. They said, look, if we see him again, we're gonna have security take him out. I don't know that he could do that either. I mean, he's expressing his right to free speech, but he's an asshole. And he's in no way is he promoting the kingdom which he claims to serve.
I get tired of people screaming free speech and then saying dumb shit as a way to cover.
Yeah, unfortunately, right. That's the way it goes.
Yeah,
but
it doesn't mean they don't need to be slapped in the face.
Right, it doesn't mean he's not a jerk off. And the Trump, because all this ties back to him somehow.
Does it everything tie back to Trump?
Just about. But Christians, I think, as a group, have really shown their ass during this election season. Over Trump and over, I mean, it's just they're just these people are out of touch in a lot of ways. Not just with politics, but with stupid stuff like this. You know, it's just.
Well, I think those people out of touch. I would agree with that, but I think to say all Christians, like
no,
the guy didn't strap a suicide vest to his body and blow people. I mean, no. He's an asshole.
Yeah,
no question.
No, I get, but. I guess I'm a little tired of the sanctimony and a little tired of the...
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm clearly generalizing as I rant here, but I just... not enough of the people living the life are stepping forward to say, this guy's a jerk-off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't disagree with you.
And that's, I have no basis for any of this.
I mean, I've got a lot of problems with Western Christianity.
Yeah,
but
I have some burrs in my saddle, and so that's where this comes from. And the guy's an asshole.
All right. We're agreed on that. All right. Let's move forward with... Let's go to hardcore politics.
Did you not... Burrs in my saddle is Amarillo, did you not? I mean, come on, dude.
I got that, okay. Dude. I saw what you did there.
credit. It's all about credit. I just want credit.
All right.
Let's get hardcore.
Fran, two words, Rex Tillerson, named Secretary of State. What do you think about that?
I have two lanes of thought. One is so much for draining the swamp. This guy's an Exxon CEO. You know,
he's not a government guy.
No, but the Trump ran on Hillary's in bed with Wall Street, and all he's named are Wall Street executives to his cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
And if you follow our Twitter feed for the podcast, we have a colorful lot of folk who follow us.
Yes.
Who are very upset with the picks he's making because of their CEO-ness of these Fortune 500 companies to which he claimed Hillary was in bed with, right? So there's that. That'll blow over, I think. I think the timing of it is weird because of Tillerson's connection with Putin and the Russian government. He was given the Friendship Medal by the Russians. And this announcement comes as the CIA floats this air biscuit about Russians meddling in our election. So you got to wonder, is Trump just giving the old FU to everybody saying, you know, or does he not care the conversation that might come up because of this?
Right.
And I think it's the latter just because of what he says about the guy. You know, saying, look, he's a player. This guy knows all the people on the stage, the world stage, he means. He got deals all over the country, all over the world. You know, he knows. And look, I'm not an economist, but I know as you who are addicted to following politics, economy and financial stuff intersect with politics all the time. Yeah. So the fact that this guy has deals all around the globe puts him, you know, in the middle of foreign governments all the time. So doesn't that make him qualified to be Secretary of State as much as anyone else?
Well, here's what I think. I think his connection with Putin is overblown. The guy is the CEO of an oil company. Now, you can say that's positive or negative, but his job is to run an oil company. Russia uses a lot of oil, and they make a lot of oil. So the friendship trophy whatever. I mean, I'm looking at a list of the other people that have gotten that award. You know who else has gotten that? Well, Steven Seagal, for one.
It's incredible.
Okay, the Prime Minister of Canada for two. So, I mean, the media is making this out to be like, Rex Tillerson is sleeping with Vladimir Putin.
Because I think it dropped at the same time as this CIA business about the Russian. You know what I mean? It all kind of came at once.
But again, it's hyperbole.
Yeah, it is.
Right? Rex Tillerson got this award. He's trying to do business. As an Exxon CEO, he's trying to do business with the country of Russia. That's his job. Yeah. It doesn't mean he's drinking beers with Vladimir Putin every weekend.
No,
which is the way the media tries to portray it.
But it is an odd optic to see conservatives defend Russia so staunchly. The dude's dirty as the day is long.
We've spent 2 years talking about the fact that Trump is not playing politics the way politics are played, and then we shouldn't be surprised when he names the people he names. Because he's not playing that game.
No, I get that, but I mean, I don't have any issue with the blow up of, you know, this pick of, you know, the media blow up of this because of what's going on at the same time that Trump threw it out there. Because at the time, everyone thought, well, it's going to be Mitt. The minute Giuliani pulled himself out of there because of all these shady dealings, well, we thought, okay, great, it's going to be Mitt, which I think is going to be a great choice. This guy I was pulling for. And then all of a sudden it's this dude who's got direct ties to the Russian government. At the time they're saying the Russian government meddled in our election. I mean, what did you expect the press to do?
But
they probably went all over themselves.
Yeah, I mean, but what did Trump do with China? I mean, he MF'd China. He took a call from the premier of Taiwan. And then he named the ambassador to China somebody that's got a long-term relationship, positive relationship with him. I mean, Trump's playing Trump.
He's picking people. I think we talked about this probably 2 years ago when we were like, well, there's just no friggin' way. But it appears the dude can surround himself with people who know what they're doing. And if he does that, if he gets in the White House, it might not be too terrible. This was 2 years ago we were saying this.
Yes.
And he's just picking people, I think, that he knows can do the job. That have and you've got to say, look, outside of Ben Carson, which I think he was just tossing Ben a bone, the rest of these guys, there's a modicum. You could say, well, look, they're qualified. Look at they're qualified. They have qualifications.
You and I know that military generals are capable of running departments because they have to be.
Right. Now, obviously, the issue with Mad Dog Mattis is a technical one.
It's a technical
one. Not a qualification one. He hadn't been retired long enough. But
I mean, they're saying, well, he's named three generals.
But Obama had generals in his cabinet.
Yeah. These guys can run stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not sure how Carson will be. We're going to talk about Rick Perry in a minute.
Yep.
This thing about, you know.
Hey, this guy is more qualified than John Kerry.
Oh, no doubt.
John Kerry's claim to fame was he was the senator from Massachusetts.
No doubt.
How does that make him qualified to be Secretary of State?
I mean, yeah.
Hillary was the senator from New York. Now, she was the first lady and had international dealings for 8 years. So that might have made her more qualified. But, I mean, this guy's as qualified as Kerry, if not more.
Let's, you know what, Fran? Yeah. Yeah, Rex Tillerson, I don't know who he is. But, you know, they're engaging in hyperbole over his Russia ties. He was a businessman trying to work his business.
Right.
And, like I said, I have a whole list of people that won the Order of Friendship Award from Russia. And
yeah, I
mean, Symington, Richard Symington.
But I think the list is nullified by the fact that none of those people are considered for Secretary of State.
Maybe true.
I just.
But when the Prime Minister of Canada won it, you have to kind of say,
oh, well, that guy's a jerk.
Well, yeah. But I mean, it's hyperbole, is what I'm saying.
I think the bigger issue is that this dude is. He's the CEO of Exxon. That's what I think.
But they're saying Tillerson is friends with Putin, which I, you know.
Well, right, getting the friendship medal doesn't necessarily make you a friend.
But that's the title of the thing.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't mean I know a lot of people I do business with that I wouldn't say I'm friends with. Okay, so I know we were going to do a conspiracy. You know, it's a conspiracy. I think let's just meld that with what they're doing now. And let me play a clip, Fran, from 2011. We have talked about the Obama administration's foreign policy and Secretary of State and how absolutely inept they are.
Lost. They're just lost.
And we talked about John Kerry having James Taylor.
That is the creepiest damn clip in the history of American government.
After the biggest, I mean, an equivalent event of 9/11 to our country that happened in France, and we had John Kerry have James Taylor come in and play You've Got a Friend. Let me play another creepy clip, and this is Hillary Clinton giving the Russian, what do you call it?
The Prime Minister, or the President. Ambassador?
Ambassador.
Yeah.
A reset button.
Yeah, like the, yeah.
This is in 2011, so let's just take a listen to this.
You know, Sergey, in anticipation of this important meeting and our time here together, I wanted to present you with a little gift, which represents what President Obama and Vice President Biden and I have been saying. And that is, we want to reset our relationship.
And let's do it together.
So we will do it together, okay?
Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. We worked hard to get the right Russian word. Do you think we got it?
You got it wrong.
I got it wrong.
It should be перезагрузка.
Ah.
And this says перегрузка, which means overcharge.
Well, we won't let you do that to us. I promise.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you so
very
much.
So, she's such a jerk.
First of all, she called herself out, right?
Yeah.
And she said nothing about, we tried to get the word right. None of that would have come up, right? She literally engaged that whole thing about jacking up the word, right? By saying, we tried to get the word right. Did we do it? And he's like, no, that's the wrong word.
Do you know what would have happened if that would have happened during the George W. Bush administration?
Oh yeah. No. It would have been bad.
So they give the guy a reset button, the Staples reset button.
First of all, it's a Staples reset.
And they misspell the word. Instead of the Russian word for reset, it's the word for overcharged. Now, this was in 2011, which in the big scheme of things is not that long ago.
Right.
And nobody was screaming, how dare we reestablish relationships with Russia? And in case you're a new listener to the podcast, you should know that my position on Ukraine and Crimea is that we basically forced Russia to invade them. I mean, I can explain that to you if you'd like me to, but if you're ignorant, I can spend the time to do that at a later time. I'm not going to redo it right now, but so I think the whole Russia thing is just being overblown and it's hyperbole.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the world scenario is different now than it was in 11.
Yeah,
because they have since invaded Ukraine.
True,
he's clearly trying to subvert other European governments.
But we did that within a year after they invaded Georgia to say, okay, we'll forgive you that. Now let's reset.
Yeah.
Let's reset our relationship. Like, okay, we know you invaded a country, but forget it.
Yeah.
We're going to misspell a word on a stupid-ass red button.
Yeah, Jesus.
This is the Obama administration's foreign policy.
Yeah.
Red buttons and you've got a friend.
Oh, yeah. And a line in the sand.
The
red line, right?
Okay, well, wait a minute. It's not that line.
Yeah,
it's this line. And now, and you know what? We haven't even talked about Aleppo or Syria on our podcast, and it's not on. It's a horror.
Right.
It's a horror right now going on.
Yeah, but largely orchestrated by the Russians. I think that's the problem. I mean, now they've stopped.
But also largely orchestrated by our administration's inability to do anything.
Well, that's true, but they're not the ones firing the missiles and pulling the triggers. Now, of course, the ceasefire started today, and they're claiming now that they're going in with humanitarian aid. The Russians are. But, yeah, I mean, the world is a different place than it was 5 years ago.
Yes.
But this dude, Tillerson, you know, trying to bring it back full circle, you know, his intimate knowledge of dealing with the Russians and dealing with foreign governments.
Again, might be good.
Yeah, he could be more qualified than any Secretary of State we've had in a long, long time. So
that's kind of my stance right now. Like, give him a chance. All right, let's move on to talk about Perry for a minute. Rick Perry today.
I like it too.
But he was named the Secretary of the Department of Energy. Let me just play this clip, Francis. Because let me set this up. He was running for president in 2011. And he advocated the elimination of three departments. The Secretary of Commerce, the Secretary of Education, and...
Right. And because of that, the third one he was trying to name often just gets left off and no one knows what it is.
Let's just listen.
About, can you work with Democrats or can you work with Republicans? Yeah, we can all do that. But the fact of the matter is we better have a plan in place that Americans can get their hands around. And that's the reason my flat tax is the only one of all the folks, these good folks on the stage. It balances the budget in 2020. It does the things to the regulatory climate that has to happen. And I will tell you, it's three agencies of government when I get there that are gone. Commerce, education, and the what's the third one there? Let's see.
You need five.
Oh, five. Okay. So five. Commerce, education, and
EPA?
EPA. There you go. No, okay.
Let's talk deposition.
Seriously? Is EPA the one you were talking about? Or?
No, sir. No, sir. We were talking about the agencies of government. EPA needs to be rebuilt.
But
there's
you
no doubt about
but
that.
But you can't name the third one?
The third agency of government. Yeah. I would do away with the education...
commerce,
and let's see. I can't. The third. Sorry. Oops.
All right. So we've all had that that moment where you can't remember what was that movie Brad Pitt was in.
Yeah.
Oh, daggone it, I can't. But not during a presidential debate.
And I think it's compounded by his opponents yelling out suggestions to try and help him, right?
But hey, Rick, by the way, it's the department that you just been named the secretary of.
Department of Energy, he wants to eliminate. Not anymore, I bet. He doesn't want to eliminate it.
With all that said,
yeah, look,
as the governor of Texas, he was a successful governor. He was an all-of-the-above guy, which if you don't know what that means, he's like, hey, I'm for all forms of energy, which means to the detriment of a lot of you left-wing asshole liberals, which he doesn't believe in. You know, he's for fossil fuels.
Right.
Right? He believes in that. But he believes in encompassing all forms of energy. He may not be a bad selection. This is the first pick for me, Fran, where I said, dude, you're not draining the swamp. All the other picks were kind of outsiders. This guy's a political insider.
Well, he's a political insider, but I don't think he's any more addition to the swamp than any of these CEOs that he's picked. Because the swamp wasn't just about political insiders.
Well, we're going to talk about that in future podcasts. Because
But
Trump's going to address that through policy, I believe.
I'm sure he will, but and I got no issue with these people. I think, I'm just saying, if you think you take his ardent supporters, they're not happy with the way this cabinet's shaping up. Because they were told, you know, Hillary was scum and she's in bed with these people. Now they're all ending up on the cabinet. He's got two Democrats, he's got three CEOs, and now he's got a political insider. I happen to think he's building what appears to be a pretty good cabinet to me. I like Rick Perry. Remember in Katrina, when the governor and the government of Louisiana, crookedest government in the 50 states, was floundering when their people were literally drowning. Rick Perry stepped in and saved that. People forget that. He stepped in and saved that situation. He literally went into Louisiana and saved those people and brought aid and everything else he could to bear to help the people of Louisiana. People seem to forget that. This guy steps up when the moment matters. That debate shit don't matter one bit.
That's funny, though.
That's just a very unfortunate thing. Look, it's funny. It's cringeworthy. But that is not the measure of that dude. I think this guy's a good pick. I think he's going to be much better because cabinet members are much more behind-the-scenes people. He's not going to be out there debating. He's got the job. He's not going to be working for the job. He'll have the job as long as Trump has the job or until Trump thinks he can't do it and he's gone. So I think you're going to get the Rick Perry that stepped in to save Louisiana, not the one who tried to run for president. And I think we're going to be better for it.
All right, and that's not nice hardcore politics. Let's go to Oh No You Didn't.
Oh no, oh no, oh no, yo, 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 oh no you didn't.
Okay, friend, I love that.
That's one of our better bumper music. I haven't heard that one in a long time.
Two things. First thing, a North Carolina mall Santa fat shames a little kid. Fat shames a little fat kid. He, kid sits on Santa's lap, tells him he wants a few things. And then before the kid leaves, the mall Santa says, did you need to back off the program for us?
I thought Santa was supposed to be a jolly old elf or something. Isn't that what it says? Right, jolly old elf? Isn't that the line?
Well, I have to admit, Santa. I watched Bad Santa 2 with my brother and my sons. Oh, it was hysterical. This is a real-life Bad Santa.
Yeah.
I don't know if the guy got fired, but they were talking about it.
I can't imagine he survives that.
But the second thing is, and this disturbs me.
Well, that's because she has boobs.
I'm angry. Because what?
Because she's got boobs, right? Isn't that the issue?
You can make that case. Wonder Woman has been dumped as the honorary UN ambassador. Like, before I even knew she was the honorary UN, they dumped her.
How did you describe her before? Not curvaceous. What did you say?
I don't know.
Voluptuous? Was it voluptuous? Something like that.
Definitely voluptuous.
Rather peculiar word to use.
Rubenesque.
Rubenesque, that's it.
Yes, the Rubenesque. Look,
You don't get quality language like that anyway.
And that's why they got rid of her. Because they said a Rubenesque white woman in a skimpy outfit does not represent women. In,
but like, that's the reason they picked her.
F you.
Yeah.
This is Wonder Woman. This is... We had masturbatory fantasies about her while we were... But when we were 12 and 13.
But like you said, that was the very reason they selected her in the first place.
Yes!
I mean, just own it. Don't be all... No, again, sanctimony. That's all
I hate the UN.
Yeah.
I hate the UN. You send some asshole to my house in a UN helmet, I cap a fool. That's what I'm saying. I'm pissed about this.
Save the boobies.
Francis, Wonder I'm saying right now, when you post this, I want a picture of Wonder Woman.
She'll be on there.
Those bastards. Those bastards.
I will Photoshop a picture of Wonder Woman strangling the UN.
Discrimination against Rubenesque white women. That's exactly what this is.
Rubenesque. This
pisses me off. Rubenesque women, they're sexy. They're the sexiest.
You get no argument from me, my friend.
You give me a skinny woman, I wear that out in like 45 minutes.
She could wrap me in the lasso of truth, whatever she wants. Is that what it's called? The gold lasso of truth?
Yeah, I don't know.
It forces you to tell the truth?
I just know, how do you dump the Wonder Woman? Oh, shit, that just pisses me off.
Have they decided who the UN ambassador, the honorary ambassador will be?
No.
Probably Rosie O'Donnell, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because if we're going anti, right? I mean, that's...
All right. Oh, I'm just pissed. Let's go to Signs of the Apocalypse.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Fran, what's tonight's Signs of the Apocalypse?
Okay, so look, you can forget about the ocean they found on Mars, which indicates early life. You can forget about the moons of Jupiter, which have blinking lights no one can seem to freaking understand what they are or explain away. The pass-by of the Saturn rings that are showing materials no one can ascertain what they are. Forget all that.
All right.
Google is about to employ their first self-driving cars. It literally will be the end of us all on the highways.
Yeah.
These death machines, we've talked about these before on the podcast, but the one Google self-driving car was just indiscriminately running people down, which is only funny unless you're one of those people who got run down. There's going to be a fleet of these things. I don't know how we're going to survive, personally.
I was wondering today, like, are we going to revolt when they make us ride in driverless cars? Because I think I am.
I'm not concerned about being forced to ride in one as I am being forced to getting run over by one.
Well,
because unless they hand one to me for free, I'm not going to be in one. So I'll be in my old clunker, but I'll be concerned about driverless cars ramming me or running me off the road.
But I mean, at some point they're going to go, no, Leonardo, you've got to have this driverless car.
We'll park it in my driveway, put a freaking bow on it, and I'll drive it. Or ride in it, I guess.
They might do that.
Well, hey, I'm fine with that.
Because, I mean, I'm like...
Because then you've got a cast.
And look, I'm not blameless.
All wrapped in
one. I got you know what, all through my house. I don't even want to say her name because she's watching me.
Yeah, we came. Look, okay, let me just explain what happened here for the people because this is not a TV show. He literally had a point at the device he's referring to. Because if we say her name, she'll come to life, and machinery okay. in this house will start to activate. Okay. That is not hyperbole, all right?
Let me tell you this story, friend, because okay. this just, it's effed up. Okay. So, the other night at like 2 o'clock, and I'm a light sleeper, I'm a very light sleeper. Oh, so, like,
you're going to creep me out, I can feel
2:30 in the morning. Now, I have three Alexas in my house.
Don't do that. Oh, see, it woke up.
I'm not quite
up.
Sure how to help you with that.
Yeah, see? Yeah. And so, like, if power goes out, then what happens when the power comes on? Then they all come back up, they all connect to the Wi-Fi, and they all go...
All by themselves?
Yes.
Jesus.
And they all go, hello. So at 2:30 in the morning, my power goes out, I happen to wake up and get up, and from three different places in my, at three different times, I hear this, hello, hello.
Oh, no freaking hello. No.
Yeah, I was freaking, dude.
I would have aerated this house with a shotgun. There's just no way.
Alexa, hello.
Hi there.
Yeah, that's the kind of shit I heard at 2:30 in the morning.
It sounds nice and sweet, doesn't it? Until your blender is ripping your face off. Yeah, no thanks.
But I'm like, I wake up at 2:30 in the morning, my power's off, and then when it comes back up, all these different places, it's like a science fiction movie, dude.
Look, and let's just put a fine point on this. He said all of them, right? He's got more than one. He has no one to blame but himself for this, right? So when he's assimilated into the machinery, I'll have no sympathy.
Dude,
I'll burn this house to the
ground. I need to tag you in the video of the guy that has the Amazon Echo in the Google thing. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Elon Musk was right.
Yeah.
The minute we turn over our lives to artificial intelligence, it's over.
Yeah.
Because the machines will figure out quickly we're the problem with this planet and we will be eliminated.
Yeah.
But that's the end of the discussion.
For those of you who don't know, there's a video on the internet of a guy that has an Amazon Echo and a Google, whatever they call it. And he creates a loop where he says, Amazon Echo, what do you have on my calendar tonight? And the Amazon Echo says, I have an appointment tonight that says, Google, what do you have on my calendar tonight? And the Google thing says, I have an appointment that says, Amazon Echo, what do you have on my Google? And so it's just an infinite loop where they're just talking, you know.
And he deserves to be killed by machines. I'll have no sympathy for him either.
I can imagine myself doing that.
When is
Jonah. Hey, Jonah. My little grandson peeking his head on.
We have a little studio. He's probably coming to warn us that these machines have taken over the house. The little kid's probably out there fighting for his life.
All right. Listen, my friends, this is UFUF 144. We're going to do a podcast next week, guaranteed.
Christmas, provided we're not all killed by the machines.
And it's going to be our Christmas special.
Christmas special.
You cannot miss it. I mean, unless you hate Christmas, do you hate America?
Hate America, hate Jesus.
Hate Jesus? You don't want to do any of those things. Come back and listen because it will be even more scintillating content that you've heard tonight, which, let's face it, tonight was premium quality content.
You can't get this kind of stuff anywhere without having to pay for it. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
We've never paid for it. Let me just get that on the record.
That's right. You know, enter the discount code FREE to get our content for free. But, I mean, you don't get any better stuff than this for free, do you, Francis?
No, I would defy someone to show us where.
I love it, man. We have some good fun, though. All right, folks. Come back next week for UFUF 145. And just remember, every little thing's going to be all right. Jonah, tell all the good people night-night.
Night-night. Night-night.
Thanks for getting unfiltered and unfettered.